In the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have all this world, but give me Jesus. And when I am alone, oh, and when I am alone, to die, oh, and when I come to die, and when I come to die, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus.
Yes, Lord. Tonight, Father God, I ask you to come, Holy Spirit, and speak to your children the word that they need to hear tonight. Not the words of man, for the words of man can do nothing for man. But the words of yours, Holy Spirit, which accomplishes everything in the mind, the heart, the soul, the spirit of man, that they need to be complete in you. So, Lord, I come before you tonight. Let my words be your words. And maybe you be glorified and you alone tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Open your Bibles to Psalm 89 tonight. Psalm 89, we're going to begin in verses 8 through 9. O Lord, God Almighty, who is like you? You are mighty, O Lord. Your faithfulness surrounds you. You rule over the surging sea. When its waves mount up, you still them. Have you ever stood at the ocean and then really thought back about the scriptures that you've read about the ocean? When you do, you realize what a mighty God you serve. that he himself, Scripture says, tells the ocean how far it can go. That's pretty big stuff. Nobody tells the ocean how far to go except God. We spent, or I spent, I don't know how many years Jerry was in the Northwest around the coast, but I was there about 14 years in the Northwest around the coast. And one of the things that a lot of people that are from the waters like to do is they really like to sit and watch waves. My husband could do it for hours and hours and hours. My oldest son could do it for hours and hours and hours, just sit and watch the waves. People often find it very mesmerizing just watching them build up and see how far they go and watch how they crash. And they find it beautiful and fascinating. And some people watch those waves day in and day out, and they even find it just very relaxing, no matter how big they are. There are actually organizations that do nothing but just watch and monitor waves. That's what they do. Day in and day out, they watch, they monitor, and as they're watching these waves and monitoring these waves, they're predicting future events by just watching them. They just watch them. So often, we become wave watchers in our lives. And not only do we become wave watchers in our lives, so often we become wave watchers in other people's lives. God bless you. Typically, though, when we're watching waves in our lives, in other people's lives, it's in an attempt to become what I call a miniature psychic. I'm watching these waves that are way out in the future of my life. I see this might happen, and I see that wave, and I wonder if it comes in ashore, and I wonder what I'll do if it hits like this. And do you see that wave that's coming up in your life, you know, in about 3 weeks from now? What are you going to do if this happens? And how will you handle it, Jordan, if that happens? And what do you think, Rebecca? I mean, you see that wave down there. How do you have a plan for that? Or we sit and we watch these waves and these circumstances afar off. They haven't even hit our shore yet. They're not even in our life yet. And yet we're watching them. And we're playing miniature psychic, which, by the way, Scripture says that's not something we're supposed to do. Astrology and psychics and all that kind of stuff. Got to think very highly of that because we're supposed to be trusting in him. But we just become these wave watchers. And typically, well, I won't say typically, I will say always. It's because of issues of control. Rather than the ability to surrender to his sovereignty, I want some measure of control. Whether it's I'm trying to gain a measure of control over the wave that I see that's my wave, or whether I want to know what you're going to do. Several months ago, while my life looked a little different than it does today, people did this to me all the time. In fact, I stopped talking to them after a while. Well, what are you going to do if Jerry does this? And what are you going to do if he's not doing that? And what about this? And what about that? And what if this happens? And what if that happens? And none of these things have happened. And I finally told them, I said, you know what? I'm just learning how to live in the day. I don't want to live in the what if. And I don't want you to force me to live in the what if. You see that could be wave? Well, yeah, I see it too. And it hasn't hit yet. It hasn't hit yet. But yet, so often we see these waves and we just become wave watchers. And I'm monitoring the waves in your life, and I'm monitoring the waves in my life, and none of them maybe even hit yet. But I'm trying to predict future events. And I'm trying to force you to predict future events about what might happen in your life so that I can feel safe because you know my life is connected to your life. Instead of just learning how to surrender to the sovereignty of God, if that wave even hits my life, if you've been around the ocean long enough, you realize you can see a wave out there and sometimes it never even lands on the shore. How many waves do we go through that we never even have to? How many waves do we force other people to go through? Because we're all stirred up. And they were never even supposed to have to go through that wave because it wasn't even going to hit land. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew 7 tonight. Let's look what Scripture says. We're going to begin in verses 25 and read through 34. This became where I spent about a year of my life, right here, a couple of years after I got saved. I was the queen of worry. I wore a worry crown. I had mastered worry. I was so excellent at it. And then one day I was reading the Bible, And it said, do not worry. And I was like, but that's all I do is worry. I don't know how to not worry. Oh my gosh. It's a sin to worry. Well, then I guess I'm in sin all the time. So I better figure out how to not worry. Therefore, I tell you, this is Jesus speaking, do not worry about your life. Now, before I go any further, I'm going to read you the definition of worry. Here's the definition of worry. To torment oneself. I'm going to stop right there. Some of you create far more torment in your life than Jesus ever intends to land into your life. Or the devil, even. You just torment yourself because you worry all the time. To torment oneself with or to suffer from disturbing thoughts. To fret. To torment oneself with cares, anxieties, or trouble. So much of the torment that we face in our life is self-inflicted. Worry, to torment oneself with or suffer from disturbing thoughts. To fret. To torment with cares, anxieties, or trouble. Wave watching, you know, waves, we see those big waves out there caused by winds and storms and whatever else is going on out there. Those waves look like trouble, and so we torment ourselves with them. Haven't even hit my shore yet, and yet I'm tormenting myself. I'm worried. So do not torment yourself about your life, what you will eat or drink, about your body, or what you will wear. It's not life more important than food, or the body more important than clothes. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in the barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, I want you to think about this right here. Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? I want you to think about how many hours of your life you have lost by worrying. And the point of you worrying was thinking that you could add hours to your life. Because that's why we worry, right? Because we think, if I worry, maybe I can make it better and it gives me some measure of control. So I'm thinking somehow I'm going to add to the stature of my life. When really Scripture tells us right here, you can worry all day long, you're never going to add to the stature of your life. And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. And yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all of these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these things will be given unto you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Amen. It has enough trouble of its own. How in the world are we supposed to figure out how to get through the troubles of tomorrow when we haven't even gotten through the troubles of today yet? We need to learn how to stay in the day. But again, this is what we do. We watch and we wander and we wonder about these waves afar off, and how am I going to pay this bill, and what am I going to do about this proposition, and what's going to happen when this happens? And we develop plans and ideas about how we're going to handle all of these waves, and we put ourselves through all sorts of suffering and all sorts of torment and all sorts of pondering. And more often than not, they never even hit our life the same way or within the same measure that we anticipated them to. I don't know about you, but that's always how it works for me. I see the wave, and I think about it, and I'm worried, and I'm suffering, and I'm tormenting, and I'm wondering, and it's going to hit like this, and what if it hits like that? And then everybody's saying to me, what if this, and what if that? And you're in all of this torment. And then by the time the thing hits land, it's never what it looked like, is it, Kimmy? It never is. Why? Because Jesus is trying to teach us the same lesson. I got it. Surrender to my sovereignty. When this thing, by the time this thing hits your life, don't you think I've made provision and a plan for it? Don't you think I've given you the mind of Christ for it? You don't have the mind of Christ for it when it's out there, but when it lands on top of your pumpkin head, you're going to have the mind of Christ for it right there in that moment. But you don't have the mind of Christ for it out there. You don't have the wisdom of Christ. You don't have the grace. You don't have the emotions. You don't have the faith of Christ. You don't have anything for it. But man, when it is on top of you, you have all of the faith you need. You are in it. You are in that space and place. I want to read this to you. This is out of this Jesus Calling book I've been, this devotional I've been reading. And this was several days back. And it talks about this, the ocean waves. It says, "My face is shining upon you, beaming out peace that transcends understanding. You are surrounded by a sea of problems, but you are face to face with me, your peace. As long as you focus on me, you are safe. If you gaze too long at the myriad of problems around you, you will sink under the weight of your burdens. When you start to sink, simply call out." And I love this because I did this as our excursion took flight a couple of years ago. And it says, simply call out, "Help me, Jesus," which is what I did as the excursion was taking flight in the snow. "Help me, Jesus, and I will lift you up. The closer you live to me, the safer you are. Circumstances around you are undaunting, and there are treacherous-looking waves in the distance. Fix your eyes on me, the one who never changes. By the time those waves reach you, they will have shrunk to proportions of my design." Okay, I'm going to read that again. "By the time those waves reach you, they will have shrunk to proportions of my design. I am always beside you, helping you face today's wave. The future is a phantom seeking to spook you. Laugh at it." Laugh at it. "And stay close to me." That is so true. The waves, by the time they hit you, they are in proportion to exactly the design of God that he has going on in your life right now. And again, sometimes they never even hit you. You just watch. You just watch. I can think of a lot of waves that miniature psychics tried to tell me were going to hit my life. They didn't hit. I'm really glad I didn't spend too much time thinking about their waves that they saw. Now, they could have been right, and maybe that wave could have hit me. But one thing that I have learned in life is how to live in the moment. I need to learn how to live by the power and the grace and the design of God for the moment that I'm in. I can't fix yesterday, and I cannot plan tomorrow. But one thing I do know is that there is always enough manna for today. They could never store up manna. Whenever you try to store up manna, it'll rot. Manna is for today. Provision is for today. Whatever it is, you need a provision of love, you need provision of grace, you need wisdom, you need a provision of whatever it is. Manna is for today. I've learned that the grace of God, which is sufficient, is for the moment you're in, not the moments that you could be in. I can never find the grace of God for moments that I might be in, but I can always find the grace of God for the moment that I am in. And I typically can't find the grace of God for the moments that I've already been in. But I can always find the grace of God for the moment that I am in. It is sufficient for that moment. And then the other thing I found is the wisdom of God. Wisdom is the right use of knowledge. This is what I've found in life, at least for me, is that the wisdom of God, which is the right use of knowledge, is for the current knowledge that I am in right now. The current knowledge that I'm in right now, not the knowledge of assumption that I might be in someday, which is what we do. I assume what kind of knowledge I might need, and then I say, "God, if that happens, what should I do?" God says, "I tell you what. When it's here, call out unto me, and I'll pour out wisdom in liberal measures all over you." The right use of knowledge for the knowledge that you're in right now. Turn, last scripture I want to read tonight, Matthew 14. Let's look at what Peter did. Surrounded by the waves. I'm going to start in verse 22. Matthew 14:22. This is right after the feeding of the 5,000. So they'd already seen Jesus do this wonderful miracle. And Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed this crowd of 5,000. So he said, you guys go on ahead of me and I'm going to tell all the rest of these people to go home now. And after he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. And when evening came, he was there alone. Can we go on? 24. Immediately, it's all right. I will read it from here. Oh, you found it? But the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves, because the wind was against it. You ever feel like that? Ever feel like no matter how hard you row, even when you know you're rowing in the right direction, the winds are buffeting you? During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said. And they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. I want you to look at what Peter says. Lord, if it is you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, he said. And then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and he began to sink, and he cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You have little faith, he said. Why did you doubt? And when he climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. So here they are, and they've got these waves all around them, and they've been watching these waves, and they've been battling these waves all night long. And then in the midst of the waves, they see something that's very frightening to them, something that brings even more confusion. You ever been in that place? And Jesus says, don't be afraid. It's me. Don't be afraid. And I find it so interesting every time I read this story, what Peter said. Why did he say, if it's me, if it's really you, then just tell me to come to you? See, Peter didn't say, if it's you, stop the waves. Peter didn't say, if it's you, come to me. Come get in the boat. Stop. Peter didn't say, when are you going to stop the waves? He didn't say, Lord, if it is you, show us the way out of the waves. He didn't say, Lord, if it is you, show me what to do in the midst of the waves. Peter said, if it is you, tell me to come to you. Ever ask yourself why he asked that? Here's Peter. And there's waves all around me. And he looks out there and he sees his Lord. And he says, there's waves all around you too, Jesus. You know, in fact, I don't see anywhere right now where there aren't any waves. Peter wasn't looking to get away from the waves. Peter just wanted to be with Jesus, regardless of the waves. I just want to be close to you. You know what? There's waves all around you, and there's waves all around me, and there's waves everywhere I look. Bid me to come to you, because I just want to be as close to you as I can be in the midst of these waves. That's what he was saying. If you're in the waves, I want to be close to you. I want to be as close as I can get. And as long as I'm with you, and as long as I'm close to you, and as long as I'm next to you, and as long as I can feel you, see you, touch you, and hold you, the waves mean absolutely nothing to me. In my storm, that was my goal. I just want to be as close to you as I can be. I want to feel your breath. I want to be heartbeat to heartbeat with you. Why? Because I don't see these waves going anywhere anytime soon, and I don't have enough faith or anything else to play miniature psychic. And I certainly don't have enough of anything in me to go back and go, well, how could I have changed, blah, blah, blah. I'm just in the moment, and I just want to close to you, Jesus, to survive the waves that I'm in. Now, as he started toward him, the only thing that caused Peter to begin to sing was his focus changed. That's all. It was just his focus. It was that simple. He shifted his focus off of the one that he was trying to be close to onto the waves that were around them. And so he began to sink. And isn't that what happens to all of us? As long as I'm just focused on Jesus, as long as I'm just focused on how close can I get to you in the waves that I'm in, then we do just fine. But once we shift our focus and we start looking on the waves, then slowly we begin to sink. This morning I heard something and it made me think of this. Quite honestly, it's kind of where a lot of this whole thing came from this morning. We were up watching the news this morning. And, you know, because of the presidential address and all of this kind of stuff, they're talking a lot about what happened at the Sandy Hook killing. And one of the little boys that was killed, his name was Noah. And his mom was talking. And she said, one of the last things that Noah did that just so moved her, and she shared it. I don't know how many of you heard it, but if you didn't, it was very amazing. And she said, I had put Noah to bed and the rest of the kids to bed, and like most kids, he came back down for one more hug. And as he came back down the stairs, he didn't have his pajama top on. And so she said, I'm looking at him as a parent, thinking, A, why are you coming back down here one more time? You're supposed to be in bed. And two, why don't you have your pajama top on? It was cold. It's been cold. This was just a month ago. And so as he comes down the stairs, she's like, no, you're supposed to be in bed. This was actually the night before the killing. No, you're supposed to be in bed. And what are you doing up? And he said, Mama, I just want one more hug before I go to bed. Now, every parent knows how many times your children came down and said that to you, right? I just want one more hug, because really they just didn't want to go to bed. But this was her last hug. And she goes, well, Noah, why aren't you wearing your pajama top? And he said, because when I hug you, I want to feel your heartbeat. And when I heard that this morning, I thought, this is Peter. I just want to be so close to you, I feel your heartbeat, Jesus. I don't want there to be any layers. So this little boy is saying, I don't want there any layers between you and me, Mom. I want to be so close to you, I feel your heartbeat. Why? Because that's where every child feels safe. Where they feel the heartbeat of their mother or their father that close to them. And when we get rid of all of the layers of fear and doubt and uncertainty and staring at the waves or whatever else, we get rid of all those layers and we say, Jesus, I just want to wrap myself so close in your love and so close in your arms that all I feel is your heartbeat. Do you know you'll never see the waves? And when you do see them, you really won't care, because what you're feeling is the heartbeat and you know it's going to be fine. So my question to you tonight is, what are the layers, like little Noah, that maybe you need to take off so you can feel the heartbeat of your Savior tonight? What maybe are some of the waves that have become your focus tonight over the face of your Savior? And maybe, just maybe tonight, you can take off some layers. And like Noah, you can wrap your arms around your Savior close enough to feel his heartbeat. Stand up on your feet as we close. Father God, I thank you that as long as we feel your heartbeat, the waves are irrelevant. The darkness in the clouds is irrelevant. The darkness beneath the waves is irrelevant. How long we've been battling the waves becomes irrelevant. How cold it is, how hot it is, who's with us, who isn't with us, it all becomes irrelevant when we strip off the layers and we get our eyes off of the waves. And we wrap ourselves close enough into you that all we feel is your heartbeat. Lord, help us to do that tonight. And every night. And every day. And every moment of our life. For you are sufficient for all things. In Jesus' name.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. I lay it all down again to hear you say that I'm your friend. You are my desire. No one else will do. 'Cause nothing else could take your place. To feel the warmth of your embrace. Help me find the way. Bring me back to you. Lord, bring me back to you. You're all I want. It's you, Lord. You're all I've ever needed. You're all I want. Help me know you are near. Close to you. Never let me go. I lay it all down again to hear you say that I'm your friend. You are my desire. Nothing else can take your place to feel the warmth of your embrace. Help me find a way, bring me back to you, back to your arms, Lord.
Help me.